第六天，6:05至9分范文。文化类范文一。
It is sometimes claimed that public museums and galleries are not necessary because people can see the historical objects and works of art in those places on the internet. Do you agree or disagree?
Many cities own museums or art galleries. Some people think that they are unnecessary today, when there is already widespread access to the internet. I disagree with this opinion. Nowadays, museums and galleries still provide the public with first-hand experiences. However, by surfing the internet, people cannot enjoy the antiques or paintings as much as those who can look around in the exhibition rooms. First-hand experience is particularly attractive to children. Visiting a museum or an art gallery is always a piece of good news to children, teacher, and parents. It is also obvious that not all the information offered by museums and art galleries is available on the internet. We may only be able to find some photos of a famous painter's masterpieces on the internet, while we can get access to a large amount of information about the paintings and the painter by reading the description and listening to the professional guide in the art gallery. Furthermore, the museums and art galleries are symbols of the culture of a city or even a country. They are places where travelers can learn about the local culture and history. For example, the most famous museum in France, the Louvre, not only has thousands of artworks, but also represents the history of Paris. It greatly helps to promote the reputation of the city and attracts more people to visit the city. I admit that it is cheaper and more convenient to browse the internet than to visit museums or art galleries. However, I believe that there is still a great demand for museums and art galleries because they provide the public with first-hand experience and more excitement.
文化类范文二。
In some countries, traditional arts are becoming extinct. Some people think that we should try to keep them. What is your opinion?
Today, many types of traditional arts are facing extinction.I personally believe that traditional arts should be valued and preserved. Traditional arts, such as traditional music, dance and painting, form an important part of a nation's cultural identity. They help to express a traditional culture and make it unique. This is particularly important in an age when globalization has made cultures very similar. A nation without a rich variety of traditional arts would feel rootless and disconnected from its own traditions. Apart from cultural value, traditional arts also have significant educational value. They help young people to understand the customs and history of their country. Introducing traditional arts such as pottery and weaving into art class is also very useful in helping children to develop creative crafting skills.Another reason why traditional arts should be preserved is that they are irreplaceable resources. Once a form of traditional art disappears in history, it can never be truly revived. Only until then will the people who do not think it should be preserved realize that is a great loss and regret their attitude. People who are against preserving traditional arts may argue that it would place a heavy financial burden on the government.These people fail to understand the economic value of traditional arts. In my country, for example, many traditional arts are famous internationally. They attract many international tourists each year. The traditional arts and crafts industry also contributes to economic growth and government tax revenue. In conclusion, traditional arts have high cultural, educational, and economic value. Their extinction would be a great loss to a nation. The government should provide funding to traditional arts programs, and the media and schools should try to make the value of traditional arts better understood by the public.
文化类范文三。
The widespread use of English is threatening the existence of many minority languages. Do you agree or disagree? What are the solutions to this problem?
Some people are concerned that the widespread use of English may cause many minority languages to become extinct. I believe their concern is well justified. Many minority languages are being threatened by English today. Small communities where these languages have been spoken are trying to increase economic, social, and cultural ties with the outside world. Young people in these communities tend to lack motivation to learn their native language well because proficiency in English can bring them more educational and job opportunities than proficiency in their native language. People from these communities are also likely to find it easier to make friends with people who cannot speak their language through conversations in English. Another benefit of learning English instead of their own language is that they can enjoy a much wider variety of entertainment, such as English songs, TV shows and films, if they have a good command of English. As a result, many minority languages are losing speakers, especially young ones, to English, and therefore being endangered by it. Governments and schools should take measures to prevent the extinction of minority languages. Governments should provide funding to programs that promote the art and culture of linguistic minorities, and give tax benefits to companies that hire employees who can speak minority languages. Public schools in regions where linguistic minorities live should provide courses on their native languages. Teachers of these courses should try to make learning interesting and make their students feel proud of the culture and language. In conclusion, although the increasing communication across cultural boundaries has made English more important than ever, I believe that governments and schools should create opportunities for speakers of minority languages to learn and use their native language well.
Language范文四.
Multicultural societies are mixtures of different ethnic groups. Some people think that the advantages of multicultural societies outweigh the disadvantages. Do you agree or disagree?
Continuous immigration has made many societies increasingly multicultural. I agree with the view that the advantages of multicultural societies outweigh the disadvantages. A multicultural society has a range of economic, cultural, and social advantages. In a society with various ethnic groups, many companies and organizations have a culturally diverse workforce. This leads to dynamic collaboration, innovative products, and creative solutions to problems at work. Another economic benefit of a multicultural society is that many people are bilingual or even multilingual. This gives them significant competitive advantages in an age of economic and trade globalization. A multicultural society is also more exciting to live in because people can participate in a wide variety of entertainment, artistic, and sports activities. These activities represent different cultures and values. As a result, people who live in a multicultural society tend to be more open-minded and cooperative. Multicultural societies also face unique challenges. The language difference often makes communication and interaction between members of different ethnic groups less effective, while cultural differences make it more difficult for them to discover common interests and shared goals. In the 20th century, the lack of communication and understanding between ethnic groups even resulted in ethnic segregation in some multicultural societies. Nowadays, the differences between ethnic groups may still cause misunderstanding and conflict. However, these problems can be reduced and overcome by efforts from the government, media, employers, and communities to encourage communication and promote equality among ethnic groups. In conclusion, cultural differences may cause some social problems for multicultural societies, but it seems to me that these problems are outweighed by the economic and cultural benefits of multicultural societies. When students study a foreign language, they should also study the culture and lifestyles of the people who speak the language. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
Some people think that while studying a foreign language, the learner should also study the culture and lifestyles of the people who speak the target language. I fully support their opinion. Learners' ability to use a foreign language can be significantly improved if they also study the culture and lifestyles of the country where the language is spoken. The meaning and usage of words and phrases are always influenced by culture and social customs. For learners who are not encouraged to understand the culture and social background of a foreign language learning is likely to be limited to rote memorization of words, phrases, and grammar rules from textbooks and dictionaries. As a result, they often use the language incorrectly. For example, visitors to China who are native English speakers often find street signs that carry wrong English translations. These translations have been produced because the translators do not fully understand the cultural and lifestyle differences between China and English-speaking countries. Studying cultural background and lifestyles in a foreign language class can also make learning more fun and stimulating. Students become bored easily if the teacher only read grammar and pronunciation rules to them without giving them lively examples related to the culture and life in the country where the language is the native language. By contrast, if the teacher could introduce materials and activities about films, music, literature, and folk tales that are unique to that country into the classroom, students would be more motivated to learn and can learn more efficiently. To conclude, I completely agree that helping students to gain knowledge about the culture and lifestyles of countries where the language is the native language should be an integral part of a foreign language course. Some people think that history should be a compulsory subject at schools, while others think that history has little or nothing to tell students. Discuss both these views and give your own opinion.
In this essay, I will discuss both sides of the debate about whether history should be a compulsory school subject. Some people think that all students should be required to study history. They argue that in history class, students try to understand many historical periods and evaluate a wide range of historical events in discussions and in writing, which can improve their analytical skills. History class also provides students with opportunities to hone their values by studying the challenges faced by historical figures. As a school subject, history can, in fact, be very interesting. It consists of events in the lives of real people, but has many dramatic developments, and even reminds learners of the storylines of best-selling novels. Others believe that history teaches students little or nothing. Their skepticism about the relevance of history to students' lives results from the fact that history is the study of the past, while students tend to be more concerned about the present and the future. However, it can be argued that an effective way to understand the present and to plan for the future is to learn from the past. For example, learning about the disasters caused by the Cold War can help students to better appreciate the importance of international understanding and cooperation, and make them committed to promoting world peace. My own view is that history is a collection of historians' descriptions and explanations of historical events, so even historical facts may contain bias. This is why students should be offered different views on these events. However, overall, I believe that history helps students to develop a sense of national and cultural identity and to understand social change. Therefore, history should be a compulsory subject in schools. Some people think that the appearance of a building is more important than its function. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
In my opinion, there are significant benefits if a building has an attractive exterior. However, I do not agree that the appearance of a building is even more important than its function. It is true that a good appearance increases the cultural and commercial value of a building. Building exteriors form part of the cityscape and bring artistic experiences into people's everyday life. A building that is visually pleasing makes its users feel comfortable and helps them to work more energetically. In the design process of some commercial buildings, the clients may request unique or even unusual exteriors to make their buildings distinctive landmarks in order to attract more business. However, the priority in building design should be to produce functionally efficient buildings. In modern times, the function of buildings is far more complex than just providing shelter from bad weather. The layout, structure, and building materials of a residential building need to make its residents feel comfortable, while office buildings are expected to offer well-organized and efficient user experiences. There are also industrial buildings that need large spaces to meet the needs of industrial production. If a building could not satisfy its users' needs, its running costs would rise. Its users would feel frustrated with living, working, or relaxing in and around the building. This is likely to lead to financial loss for the owner of the building. Therefore, although I think that buildings should integrate functionality with beauty, I believe that compared with the functionality of buildings, aesthetic considerations should be secondary. If architects compromised function for form, buildings would cause their users inconvenience and even health and safety problems. Fashion trends are difficult to follow these days, and it is widely believed that these trends exist just to sell clothes. Some people argue that we should not follow fashion trends and we should dress in the way we like. To what extent do you agree or disagree?
It is widely believed in today's world that the latest fashion trends hold great significance. On the other hand, such trends are believed to be set only in the pursuit of profits for large designer companies. Personally, I think that we should pay more attention to individuality and comfort in the way that we dress. Firstly, fashion designs exist as a form of creative artistic expression of the designer. Although this may be true, undoubtedly such designs take away individuality once a trend is set in place. There is nothing unique about wearing what everybody else does. If everyone wears the latest colour and design in summer skirts, do we not look the same? Secondly, it is possible that fashion trends can look extremely stylish to the general public. However, the main purpose of wearing clothes is for more functional reasons. Clothes were traditionally worn to protect people from climatic conditions. For instance, even today, clothes are still worn basically to keep people warm and dry in winter and cool in summer. Finally, fashion certainly gives us a sense of confidence and pride in our appearance. While this is certainly a good point, it also means that following such changeable trends proves to be expensive. For example, purchasing every latest season's fashion clothing will of course blow the budget of many people, especially young people. In conclusion, there are various arguments to support the dismissal of fashion trends, including not following others, comfort and price, which I strongly agree with. Some people believe there should be a single international language. Others believe that would make it difficult to maintain the identity of cultures. Discuss both these views and give your own opinion.
In the past, several languages have acted as the lingua franca in different areas of the world, but the growth of modern communications and the development of air transport have created a demand for a single international language to cover the whole world. There are several reasons to believe that a single international language has become a practical necessity. Firstly, trade is becoming increasingly international, involving multiple partners who have mutually incomprehensible mother tongues. Secondly, there has been a huge proliferation of international organizations such as UNICEF, the WHO, and the European Union. Thirdly, scientific research, such as space and genetic research, is becoming more of an international cooperative effort. Although multi-way translation is technically available and sometimes practiced, it is often expensive and inconvenient. Fourthly, it is arguable that if we all make use of one language to communicate, prejudice and misunderstandings will be overcome, and world peace will be promoted. Many people fear that the spread of a single international language threatens individual cultures. It is argued, for example, that the spread of one language will cause others to die out. However, there is evidence to the contrary. History suggests that the use of one or more official languages has in fact sharpened the sensitivity of speakers to other languages. More broadly, people fear that a single language will spread a single culture over the world, a movement sometimes called language colonization. But we should keep in mind that the purpose of an international language is for use in international contexts, not everyday ones. Any international language is likely to remain superficial. Therefore, my conclusion is that the enormous benefits of a single international language vastly outweigh the potential risks it presents.
Countries are becoming more and more similar because people are able to buy the same products anywhere in the world. Do you think this is a positive or negative development?
It is said that countries are becoming similar to each other because of the global spread of the same products, which are now available for purchase almost anywhere. I strongly believe that this modern develop is largely detrimental to culture and traditions worldwide. A country's history and language are inextricably bound up in its manufactured artifacts. If the relentless advance of international brands into every corner of the world continues, these packages might one day completely oust the traditional objects of a nation, which would be a loss of richness and diversity in the world, as well as the sad disappearance of the manifestations of a place's character. What would a Japanese tea ceremony be without its specially crafted teapot, or a Fijian kava ritual without its bowl made from a certain type of tree bark? Let us not forget either that traditional products, whether these be medicines, cosmetics, toys, clothes, utensils, or food, provide employment for local people. The spread of multinational products can often bring in its wake a loss of jobs as people turn to buying the new brand. This eventually puts old-school craftspeople out of work. Finally, tourism numbers may also be affected, as travellers become disillusioned with finding every place just the same as the one they visited previously. To see the same products in shops the world over is boring, and does not impel visitors to open their wallets in the same way that trinkets or souvenirs unique to the particular area do. Some may argue that all people are entitled to have access to the same products, but I say that local objects suit local conditions best, and that faceless uniformity worldwide is an unwelcome and dreary prospect.